So, you know, we're going to see. But here we go. That's it. I'm pretty. All right. Hebrews 11. And we're focusing on verse 6. And I'm going to read 1 through 6. And just remember, Ron and Pete, I'm going to the new nursing home, Camelot, this weekend. And so that's going to be a special blessing. Got another nursing home under our belt, you know. So that's awesome. That's really awesome. Brother's doing a good job with that ministry, you know. That's awesome. Amen. So the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Saints, we've been in the book of Acts, just kind of going, big book of Hebrews, just kind of going through verse by verse and line by line. And this book is written to the Hebrews so that we can stay in the faith, so that we won't let go of Yahshua Jesus. In chapter 11, amen, the writer of Hebrews embarks upon one of the most popular chapters in our whole Bible, and that's the Hall of Faith chapter. This chapter can be separated into two distinct sections. He gives us the definition of faith, and then he comes back and he gives us the history of faith. And we've been taking the journey together, just going through, amen, faith, amen, in the annals of time and in the history of mankind. And we started off with the antediluvian patriarchs, the patriarchs before the flood. And we start off with Abel, just saying that Abel was the first one to be able to exercise faith because Adam and Eve had seen God. And you see, once you see something, then faith is not required. But Abel needed faith to offer that offering he offered. And then we went to Enoch, and we've been covering Enoch in verse 5 and 6. And if you remember, Enoch was the seventh from Adam. He was a prophet. He was a scribe. He was translated. That means he was carried over, carried across, taken up. Some folk would say he was raptured. And the reason he was taken up is because Enoch pleased God. He walked with God. He communed with God. And he lived for God. We got to verse 6, amen, and we kind of broke it up into 3 points without faith. And we just talked about that we can do nothing outside of Christ to please God, nothing outside of faith to please God. Second point, he is, that faith begins with the existence of God. And the third point, which we've been on, we've just been saline on this point, a rewarder, all right? And while we've been on this point, amen, we just said that God will reward you for seeking him. He's not going to let you do the work of seeking him and let you leave empty. You will be rewarded in this life and in the next. And we said the first reward that God gives is himself. He gives him, all right? And we said that with God comes a very impressive package, a very impressive portfolio. God, when you get him for seeking him, you get salvation and joy and life and peace and freedom. And that's kind of what we stopped off last time, y'all. Just talking about the rewards of seeking him and that first reward, which is him. I want to look at the second reward tonight. The second reward for seeking him. And in Soundbook, we're going to skip the eternal rewards. I know I had that, but I just want to skip that. And maybe we'll put it on at the end sometime as the end of verse 6. But I want to go through some rewards for seeking him. And the first one I'm going to cover tonight is the second one in our package. We receive answered prayer when we seek him. Anybody hear me up in here? He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And part of that reward package is answered prayer. That when you call, God going to hear you. And not only hear you, but answer you. You see? Remember what we term seeking him, what we define seeking him is. Is you coming to church? Is you coming to prayer? Is you coming to Bible study? You seeking him right now. Remember, seeking him on an individual basis is you going in the closet and praying, you opening your Bible and reading and studying. Is you, amen, coming and getting together with the people of God, fellowshipping, where two or more are gathering his name, there he is in the midst. And so that's all just seeking him. And one of the things we get when we seek him is answered prayer. In Psalm 37:4, look what it says. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee what? The desires of thine heart. This is a promise of God. The delight yourself is the seeking part. When you delight yourself in the Lord, meaning like, listen, you want to be at church. Amen. You can't wait to be in worship. You can't wait for the word. Amen. You want to be here. All right. You want to be in prayer. You want to be in Bible study. Huh? Deep down inside, you want to open that Bible and read your word. When you delight yourself in God, look what it says. Amen. He shall give thee what? The desires of thine heart. Now, this scripture can be broken down in two ways, and I think that both ways are correct. See, when you spend time with God, God is going, number one, give you the desires of your heart. That means that God is going to fix your wrong desires and give you new desires, give you right desires. Amen. Because a lot of the times when we come to the Lord, we want the wrong things. And we want the wrong things for the wrong reasons. Anybody ever wanted the wrong things? Amen. When you seek God, spend time with him, whether you're at church, whether you're in the secret place, amen, of your closet, something happens to us. When we seek God, when we spend time with God. The Bible says in Corinthians, in the Pauline epistles, the Bible says, as we behold his glory, we are changed into the same glory. Meaning that God's thoughts become our thoughts. The way God look and act become the way we look and act. How many people ever wanted something that they shouldn't have? Amen. Anybody wanted something wrong? I know I have. And you pray for that, you pray for that, and you're seeking God. And one of the things God will do is, amen, the more you go in the closet, the more you pray for that thing, if that thing is not according to his will, he's going to show you. And by time is over, you're going to be praying for something else. You come in praying for that old Negro. God don't want you to want that Negro. Anybody hear me up in here? God, give me Kunta Kinte. God, I got to have Kunta. I got to have him. I got it. But God know Kunta Kinte ain't good for you. He know he ain't good for you. He running wild. Kunta Kinte is running wild. He jungle booking out there. He running wild. And God know that man not good for you. All right? You go in the closet praying for Kunta. And God begins to change your heart. Every time you go in the closet. Every time you open that Bible. Every time you come to church, just God is just eroding away those wrong desires and transforming them into right desires. When you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, after he changes your desires to desire the things that he wants for you, because you know what he wants for you is best. I done had some houses I wanted. I done had some cars I done wanted. And let me tell you, those things were not best for me. But I just kept seeking God. Just kept delighting myself in him. And listen, you'd be surprised. The very thing you crying for. The very thing you're fasting for. And you're like, God, why won't you give it to me? And God show you right down the road something that's better than what you wanted. Anybody hear me up in here? Huh? Hey, man, I remember Brian and Kim was looking at a house. All right? Look, I'm talking about y'all's situation. I just felt it in the spirit.
And they told me where it was. And so I went right by it. And at first, they wanted it bad. But I looked at that and I said, I don't think that's God's best. See, a lot of times where we come from, something is good enough for us, but it's not good enough for God. Hey, God! Anybody hear me up in here? So me and First Lady pull up, and we look at that thing. We say, But I ain't never said nothing. I never told you nothing, huh, B? I never told you nothing, you know, because I know he going to be seeking. I know he delight. You see, sometimes it's not my job to come and tell you right off the bat. But it's my job to just watch the process. Because I know if you seeking, daddy going to tell you for yourself that one is not your. Oh, you ain't. And the shift happened. And they went and they got in my house. I'm talking about, look, it's 10 times better than the one they originally wanted. Better neighborhood, better neighbors. You understand what I'm saying? Just everything better. God will give you the desires, all right? Now, when he changed your desire, amen, and you began to pray for his best for you, that part of the scripture is true too. When you delight yourself in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of your heart. The more you seek him, the more answered prayer you get. The more you seek him, the more answered prayer you get. The more you seek him, the more answered prayer you get. The more you seek him, the more answered prayer you get. I don't know who I'm talking to in here. Listen, the more you seek, the more answered prayer you get. And I've been around people that pray. And before they finish praying, the change done happened. You ever saw somebody do that? The words, like the Bible say, the word was yet in their mouth. God changed this red light. Something simple like that. God, stop this weather. God, we need provision. God, heal this person. And what you want in your prayer life, amen, is immediate connection. Anybody hear me up in here? That immediate connection comes from you constantly seeking him. Constantly seeking him. I heard other preachers say, amen, that when you spend a lot of time with God, amen, when you go to pray for something you really need, you don't need that much time and you don't need that much words to get the connection back. Because you just left his presence. You wasn't far from his presence anyway. So when you got to go back to prayer, it's just one sidestep. God, I'm back. But some of us ain't prayed in days and weeks and months. So it take a little longer for our prayers to get there. Delight yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Listen, look at John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be given or done unto you. This is another seeking scripture that shows that when you seek God, you get answered prayer. He said, if you abide in me, that's that stand in relationship with him. He said, my words abide in you. The only way the word can abide in you is if you study the word. If you always in the word. The only word, the way the word can be in you is if you in the word. Anybody hear me up in here? So Jesus is saying, if you in the word, and quite naturally you studying, you meditating, you memorizing, so the word is in you. Jesus said, if you spending that much time with me, if you seeking me that much, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Are you hearing what I'm saying right now? I know some of y'all can't hear me because, listen, some of y'all don't want answered prayer. But for those who want answered prayer tonight, for those who done been in the presence of somebody who pray and things happen, if you want that, this is the formula. Spend time with God. Pray. Delight yourself in him. Open your Bible and read a little bit more. You say, Pastor, but I do that already. Do it more. Do it more. Do it more. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And I want you to watch this right here. You see, the more time you spend in the Word of God, the more the Word is in you. When the Word is in you, you're not going to be asking God for no cross stuff, for Him to be telling you no, for Him to be saying that's not it. See, you would never ask for kunta if you spent time with the King. You understand what I'm saying? So you in the Word, you understand what I'm saying? His Word is in you. Hey, God, hallelujah. You're going to know, hallelujah, the will of God for your life when you got that Word in you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because a lot of the times we're not getting what we need or what we want from God because we don't know what God wants for us. Did you catch that? We're not getting what we want because we don't know what God wants for us. And you can only know what God wants from you by spending time in prayer, spending time in the Word, spending time at church, at Bible study. Huh? And that's how your prayers be effective, man. That time that God would take to change your heart is not there. God don't have to spend all that time wasting, hallelujah, changing your heart from this house or that car or this man or that woman or this job. God ain't got to waste that time because the Word done already did the work. You done, the time y'all done spent together already did the work. So when you go in, hey, God, you and God on one accord. Man, I'm trying to tell you, man. And the Epistle of John said, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us and we have those petitions in which we request. It's, oh, God, have mercy. Why do you think all of Jesus' prayers was answered? He always prayed the will of the Father. He never asked for something that wasn't good for Him. We sitting up asking God for sin. Oh, God, y'all. We're asking God for stuff that's going to hurt us. We're asking God for stuff where all the signs in the heavens and all the signs in the earth, God is saying, I don't want y'all with that particular thing. But we're not sensitive enough and in tune enough with God to walk up on a situation and not even hear anything about it. Just I've spent so much time with God, I walk up to it and I look at it and say, that's not the building for me. And just walk away. Come from spending time with His presence. Spending time in 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 His presence. You see? Oh, God, I don't know, man. I think I'm giving y'all too much, man. You see? You see? Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Look what He says. Y'all know it. He says, therefore, take no thought, saying what we shall eat, what we shall drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed. This whole section of scripture right here, Jesus is teaching, amen, about a lot of things. He's teaching about prayer. He's teaching about fasting. He's teaching about giving. Huh? He even teaches them the Our Father prayer right here. And so He's teaching His disciples to stay in touch, to stay seeking God. All right? Now, when you're seeking God, you ain't got to worry about these other things, He's saying. If you're seeking God, you ain't got to worry about some things. All right? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, them people that's not after God. Y'all know what I'm talking about? See, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Look at 33. But seek first. What? The kingdom of God. And what? His righteousness. And what? And all these things shall be what? Added unto you. He's a rewarder of those who diligently what? Seek Him. Just seek Him. He's saying you ain't going to have to worry about that. You have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Nah, I got you. Hallelujah.
It's an amazing thing. When we boil down Christianity to the basic essentials, the only thing that our mind should be focused on is seeking him. That's it. That's it. That's it. Just that should be what we fixed on. And he's going to take care of the rest. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I want to talk about favor. Favor. This is our next one. Come on, give God some glory, y'all. Favor. When you seek him, you get favor. All right? You not only get answered prayer, but answered prayer is a lot. But you get favor. All right? And I'm going to tell you, Israel, amen, God would not have me teaching about how to get yourself in position for favor if he didn't want to give you favor. You see, we can't earn favor because favor is unmerited. It's a gift from God. We don't deserve it. But just like Sunday, you can get yourself in a position of favor. If God is telling you to get in position for favor, it means that he's got some favor for you tonight, that he's ready to give you, but you're not right where you're supposed to be. He's just saying, come on, move over just a little more, and I'm going to hit you with it. And I'm going to hit you with it. Somebody say favor.
Favor.
All right? Pastor, how do you know that it's our time of favor? Look at the scripture he gave me in Psalm 102:13. He says, thou shalt arise and have mercy or compassion on Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Listen, Zion, your set time has come. There was a day set on the calendar of heaven, a certain year, a certain month, a certain day, a certain time. God had it on the calendar of heaven, and we have come to that set time. We have come to that set time. As a people, the time to favor us is now. So he has me prophetically in this place tonight. If you can receive, the command has already been issued in heaven. Favor her. Favor them. Bless them. Anoint them. Call them. Prosper them. That's the call from heaven. And he's dropping favor. Amen. But you got your bucket in the wrong place. You got to move over a little bit to get under favor tonight. And I want to tell you, in the business that I'm in, Zion is being favored right now. The Hebrews are being favored right now. Israel is being favored right now. Y'all don't understand what I see. The type of money that our people coming in with, buying houses cash sometimes, or they getting approved for money that we never got approved for before. Are you with me here so far? And they in there just as baffled as me. They just like, praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody say the set time. Do you have enough faith to believe that tonight? See, Misha, when I walk around, I know in my spirit it's my set time. When I know it's my set time in my spirit, I believe that things are going to work out for me. Because of that belief, amen, God is able to move mountains and split seas because I trust in him and trust in his word. How many people have the faith to believe that it is our set time? All right, well, let's talk about favor a little bit. When you seek God, you get favor. Favor is approval. It's acceptance, it's benefits, and blessings. It's when God approves of you, all right? It's not based upon, amen, your righteousness, because we all sinners. We got the righteousness of Christ on us. It's when God accepts you. It's when God begins to benefit you and bless you. The best definition that I found for favor is demonstrated delight. Say that with me. Demonstrated delight. It's when God delights in you so much, he's about to demonstrate it to the world. He's about to, he's about to demonstrate to everybody around you, including your haters. He's going to demonstrate. He's going to demonstrate to everybody, your sisters, your brothers, your mamas, those that gossip about you, your daddy, those that don't like you. He's going to demonstrate to everybody that he is delighted with you. Hey, God. They're going to drive through your neighborhood and say, God is delighted with them. They're going to look at your car when you pull up and say, God is delighted with them. They're going to look at your outfit when you come out and say, God is delighted with them. They're going to look at your health report and say, God is delighted with them. You're going to be older, but they're going to look at your body, hallelujah, like a young man and say, God is delighted with them. They're going to look at your business and the accounts you have and the people that's coming in the doors, and they're going to say, God is delighted with, oh, God have mercy. They're going to look at your promotion after promotion after promotion, and they're going to say, God is delighted with them. Favor is demonstrated delight. It's not just God approving of you. It's not just him accepting you, but him showing everybody around you of the acceptance and the approval. And he's going to do it through great benefits and a whole bunch of blessings. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Somebody say, God, give me that favor. You see? And we don't earn it, y'all. We can get in position for it, but we don't earn it, because favor ain't fair. But it's fabulous. It's fabulous. It's fabulous. It's fabulous. Listen to me good. Demonstrated delight. And as we go through the Bible, y'all, there's been so many with favor. You see what I'm saying? And we get it, amen, we get in position of favor by seeking him, by pleasing him. Amen. That is what affords us the favor. We studying about Enoch, and Enoch, y'all, had favor. To walk with God, to be translated, that's favor. When I look at Noah, Genesis 6, they say Noah found grace with God. That's favor. You see, and favor will get you out of some tight situations. See, the world was about to flood, but it was favor that lift Moses, Noah up in the ark. Anybody hear me? Favor will deliver you. Everybody else, amen, hallelujah, 1,000 will fall on this side, 10,000 at another, but it will not come nigh thee. Why? Because of God's favor. I'm trying to tell you up here. They'll fire everybody else on the job, but you still standing there, you alone on the job, nobody else, because of what? God's favor. Listen, man, I'm trying to tell you, man. Moses had favor. And the favor that Moses had was that God would put him in leadership over God's people. You see, that's favor, man. And I'm trying to tell you, when you have favor like that, huh? God will put you over things you don't deserve to be over. God will make you lead things you don't deserve to be leading. All right? But it was the favor of God. It was the grace of God. Joseph had favor, huh? And what was Joseph's favor? Joseph's favor was prosperity. Wherever Joseph went, it jumped. Anybody hear me over here? Joseph walking the projects and bread started coming out the ground. And everywhere he walked, it jumped. He went to Potiphar's house and Potiphar was blessed. Went to jail and the jail was blessed. Became second in command of Egypt, and they had enough in store to feed the whole known world. Everywhere he went, he was just blessed. And there is an attribute of the favor of God, that the favor of God could be on you so much
that you not only have what you need, but wherever you go and the people around you. Hey, God, you walk into a desert and turn it into a river. You understand what I mean? The favor just all over you. You show up and checks start coming in. Somebody say, Lord, give me that favor. I'm trying to tell you how to get it, man. I'm trying to tell you how to get this here. You see? Mary had favor. Luke 1:30, Gabriel told her. He said, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And what happened to Mary? Miracles happened to Mary. Mary ain't even laid with a man. She got a child coming. Favor open wounds as well as open rivers and split seas. Favor work miracles. Hey, God, when there is no way, favor will come through and make a way. Favor. Favor. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and the list can go on from Daniel to David. Solomon, all the way to Jesus. And could you imagine God himself walking on the earth? And he allowed himself not to walk on the earth without favor. He God, but he's still going to put favor on himself. Because favor could do things. You see, in Luke 2, watch this. Look what it says about Jesus. In Luke 2, you're like, God, I don't need no favor. Jesus needed favor. You understand what I'm saying? In Luke 2, look what it says. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in what? And in favor. With who? With God and man. Now, this is the thing about favor. That's the thing about favor. You see, if you mess around getting favor with God, you're going to get in favor with man. That, I'm just telling you. Woo! In my notes I have here, amen, when you have the favor of God, watch this, all right? When you have the favor of God, God will make people you need be sympathetic to your cause. We all in a situation when we need somebody, y'all. Every single one of us. I don't care, amen, you're downtown and you need the meter maid not to put a ticket on your car. You need the cop that stopped you not to write you a ticket. You need the judge to give you extra time. You need the person who is inspecting the property that you're reconstructing, amen, to show you favor in this particular area of the project. We all need favor sometimes. The favor of God, amen, affects the activity of men. God will make people you need be sympathetic to your cause. People that don't even know you're going to work for you, going to move for you, going to begin to take up your matter as if it was their wrong. You sleeping at night, they staying up, calling on your behalf. I just had to get it for you. I just had to do it. Somebody say, Lord. Give me some of that favor. Yes. Yes. Look at it in Proverbs 21:1. You see? The Bible says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. You see, when you're seeking God, you're staying in that word. You're staying in church. You're staying in Bible study. You're staying praying. You're coming out. You got seeking God written all over you in the spirit. You see? And you go to need somebody. God is going to take that person of authority. He's going to put their heart in his hand. And though they had a no, hallelujah, in their spirit, by the time the conversation is over, God's going to turn, and he's going to turn some more, and the no is going to turn into a yes. And you're going to get what you need because of faith. I done been in many situations where I sit down with somebody, we can't do it for you. Mr. Tebow, it can't happen. Mr. Tebow, this is not going to happen. When you need it by... Okay, all right. I'm gonna just this one time we're gonna do it for you, but after that, that's it. What happened? God done turned somebody's heart. I'm talking about favor. Oh God, you gotta. But not only, amen,
Will God allow people in authority over you, amen, to favor you? But God will allow people under your authority. Favor works, amen, not only to people over you, but people under you. See, a lot of times if you ever led something before, nobody can give you blues worse than sometimes the people you've been anointed to lead or called to lead. That is true in the employment setting, if you're a supervisor, a manager. It's true in the ministry setting, if you're a ministry head. It's true in the pastoral setting, if you're a pastor, a minister, a deacon. Amen. A lot of times we call to lead, but the people that give us the most blues be the subordinates. Favor can affect that. Even in the familiar setting, if you a husband and you got children and you got a wife, amen, and it's giving you the blues, amen, favor can affect that. Oh, God have mercy. If you a wife, amen, and you got a situation and the children not acting right, favor can affect that. If you a teacher and them kids cutting up in the class, favor can affect that. Favor not only turns the king's heart, it turns the hearts of the subordinates as well. Oh, y'all, come on, somebody. I'm working hard up in here. I'm telling you, I'm working hard. Listen, look what the Bible says in Psalms 18, I think it's around 47. It says, it is God that avenged me. And what does God do? He subdueth the people under me. If you have a problem in the leadership setting you in, if you have a problem with those subordinates just really giving you the blues, my word for you is to seek the Lord. Get in that Bible. Get in that word. Come to church. Come to prayer. Because when you seek him, you're going to find him. And part of what you're going to find is the favor of God. He not only turned the hearts of kings, but he turned the hearts of those that you're over as well. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Look at Psalm 144:2. I think I gave y'all that one. Watch this. God is my goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust. What does he do? This is David. David said, he subdued my people under me. That's the kind of favor you want. It could be something as coaching a team, a softball, volleyball, basketball, flag football team. Nobody listening. Seek the Lord and get yourself some favor. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Proverbs 16:7. Not only the people that's over you and the people that's under you, but the people that's against you, favor can affect. The people that's against you. You get yourself in a favored position. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, like Enoch, he make it even what? His enemies be at peace with him. See, some of y'all got too many enemies. Got too many people that don't like you. Too many enemies. When you got too many enemies, amen, your favor meter is low. You're running on E. You're running on favor fumes. You got to get back in the prayer closet. Get back in the word. Get back coming to church regularly. Amen. Come to prayer. Come to Bible study. Amen. Get your favor on full. And when a man's ways please the Lord, watch what God going to do to your enemies. Hallelujah, they're going to stop not liking you. Amen. Hallelujah. God going to make them be at peace with you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo. Hallelujah. Listen, come on, give me this last one and then we're going to get out of here. Y'all still up? Yeah. We're talking about the rewards of seeking him now. I pray that you're listening. I pray that you're listening. You see? You know, sometimes you could walk in something and not even know what you're walking in. See, my heart was geared to just thirst after him, just seek him. Amen. And these benefits came my way, and I didn't even know, amen, hallelujah, that it was scripture, that it was principle. When you seek him, he got to reward you. When you seek him, he got to do these things. Huh? And so what a great thing to have God and hold him by his word. Huh? To be like Jacob, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I want this favor. Huh? I want this answered prayer. Huh? And the last one we're going to cover tonight, I want these open doors. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. First Lady, pray for me. I'm working hard up in here. Amen. Open doors. Watch this. When you seek the Lord, one of his rewards for you is open doors. You see? And God began to minister to me. He asked me a question. He said, what's a door? So I went to the dictionary. I said, Lord, show me what a door is. A door is a barrier. A barrier. A barrier at an entrance. That's what a door is. A door is a barrier, something that you can't get through just walking through. You got to stop at the door. Amen? That's the door. But the thing about a door is it's a barrier, but on the other side of the door is an entrance into something else. Oh, God, have mercy. Oh, God. A door is a passage. It's a portal. It takes you from one place to another. Oh, God, have mercy. Huh? Somebody say, Lord. Show me the open door. You see, where you at right now, there's a door around you. In the spirit. The financial situation you in, there is a door around you in the spirit. The house you're living in, there's a door around you in the spirit. Hey, God, hey, God. The trouble marriage that you have, there's a door around you in the spirit. It's a barrier that if you can get open, it's going to be a portal, a passage to get you from one place to another. From broke to blessed. From stress to peace. From a lower level to the higher next level. Listen to me now. I'm talking about a door. You see what I'm saying? And God promises us, amen. He tells us in his word that he's going to set us in a wide place. See, some of us, the room we in is too small. The room we in is too small. The life we live in is not big enough for the talents and the gifts that we have on the inside. It's too small. The car I'm driving, too small. The house I'm living in, too small. The calling on my life is too small. The ministry I'm over is too small. Everything is too small. I feel claustrophobic in here. I'm bigger than what it is that I'm going through. Lord, show me a door. Oh, God, have mercy. It's the door that can get you from that tight spot to the next spot. But a lot of us, we walk up to the door and the door is locked. You found the door, but the door is shut. And we need to get to a place where the doors that we find that God put before us become not closed doors, but open doors. Open doors. Open doors. Open doors. They become opportunities for passage. Opportunities, amen, to move from one place to another. You see, in the spirit, whether you're listening or not, a lot of you stuck right now. A lot of you stuck right now because you can't find the door, or the doors you find, they shut. And when they shut, you don't know how to open them. And so you just stand there in front of a shut door, and that door becomes your barrier, when all you need in the spirit is to reach out your hand, turn the knob, kick open the door, and move on to the next level. Oh, God. Kev, they got me working hard. Kev, I'm trying, Kev. Listen to me. There's open doors. There's open doors. Listen, I can't stay in one place too long. I can't stay in one place too long. Amen. I can't stay in one place too long. All right? But my Bible teaches me that I'm constantly supposed to be going from glory to glory, faith to faith, and strength to strength. A lot of people look at me and say, you should be happy. I'm not happy right here. I'm never happy in one spot. I'm never happy. They come now to church, you should just be happy with that. I'm not happy with that. They come to my house, you should be happy. I'm not happy with that. They see how we're living. I'm not happy with that. You see? You only be happy and complacent when you don't know the kind of God you serve. My God owns it all. You understand what I'm saying? I'm hungry. Who hungry up in here? Who hungry up in here? Oh, complacent spirit. Oh, complacent spirit. Sit there full. Don't want nothing else.
Your children are going to grow up and come to you for some kind of inheritance. Then you ain't going to have nothing for them. Because you wasn't hungry enough. You ate your little chicken leg and you was done with that. You see, but the righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that's what I'm hungry for. I'm hungry for it. I got to have it. I got to get it. So I'm always looking for what? The open door. See, when you seek the Lord, one of the rewards that he give you, he'll set before you open doors, man. Open doors. Open doors. You know? And the Spirit just told me that sometimes some of y'all have enough favor to have the door open in front of you, but you're too scared to go through it. A bunch of spiritual chickens. Well, how we gonna pay? How we gonna? What you mean, man? You're not the provider. Yahweh Jireh is my provider. I've set before you an open door. Oh, God. All right, I'm in the prophetic tonight. Y'all just forgive me. Y'all just forgive me. An open door. Another place. Another level. Another position. Another stage. A new level of prosperity, a new time, a new season, a new chapter in your life. This is the passage, the portal. This is the access point. And God will open doors for you when you seek him. You see, in Joshua 1:8, he was trying to tell Joshua that. And he told Joshua, Joshua, listen, Joshua them on the brink of a transition right here. Oh, God have mercy. They in a place, amen, that's part of an old thing. And they right on the brink of a new thing. They got Sinai on this end, the wilderness back here that they in, but there's a door called the Jordan River that's standing right in front of them, and the promised land is on the other side. All they got to do is walk through the doorway and get to the land that's flowing with milk and honey. Prophetically, you're that close from milk and honey. You're that close from milk and honey. You're that close. Can I look at you and I tell you that and you believe me? There's only a stream separating you from the milk and honey you've been praying for. There's only a stream. There's only a stream. And you're standing on the brink of that, refusing to cross. These little barriers, you're letting it stop you. There's only a stream in between you and your dream. There's only a stream. There's only a stream. There's only a stream. There's only a stream. You see? You see, when you seek the Lord, he's going to give you open doors. So he told Joshua, he said, Joshua, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You see the seeking right there? Yeah, God saying, stay in my word. You stay in my word, I'm going to take care of the doors. Meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. Of course, obey me as well. Do your best, strive for righteousness. Watch this. I'm meditating. I'm seeking. I'm doing my best to live as close as I can to the Most High and his precepts. Watch this. For then, after you seek me, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have what? Good success. Seek him, and doors are going to open in your life. You see? Oh, come on, give God some glory. Amen. You see? Now, before I go, amen, I just want to prophetically talk about a problem that people have. You see, with the word, we're given diagnosis as well, whether it's fear, you're not pressing, amen. Some people too timid, amen. There's a type of aggression that you got to have when you're taking on new territory. There's a certain tenacity.
a certain go get you gotta have. Listen to me, Zion. Because you're gonna have some barriers. You see? If you wanna win at anything, they gotta be a tenacity about you. When Tyrone get that ball in the paint, there's a tenacity about him. You see? When John Mark is in that boxing ring, there's a tenacity about him. In life, you're going to have a little bit of tenacity. A little bit of pit bull. A little bit of go get him. A little bit of not stop. A little bit of botheration even. But I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And it's not that you don't have it. It's just that you've had it for the wrong things. Young men, you've been tenacious about women. Take that tenacity and apply that to your business and your finances. And the same way you chased after them, chase after God first, the inheritance of your children, and I guarantee you, you're going to be six figures before the end of the year. Listen to me now. Young woman, same way. Same way you was tenacious to find out that mess and that gossip about who said what and when they said it and what they did and where they did it and how they did it. If you could be that aggressive on the phone to secure that contract, that lease, to secure that. Oh, you hear what I'm talking about? You ain't stopping until you get it. Well, who's that? Well, who owned the building? If you don't own it, well, who owned it? And what did they say? You be tenacious like, you see, you have the tenacity. You're just applying it in the wrong place. Is that all right for me to say that to you? Find your area of tenacity. For some, it's looks. Find your area of tenacity and apply it to the door that stands in your way. Okay, I'm about to go, minister. But one more thing. Y'all still up out there? Oh, God. See, before I left the house, a book fell off my shelf. I said, Lord, is that you? And I pick it up, and it was a book by Dr. Cho. It was entitled The Fourth Dimension. And I said, Lord, I see. He was showing me that some of his people have a problem operating in the fourth dimension. And it's the reason they're not having the success that they should be having. He was telling me they are seeking me, some of them. They are in the word. They praying. Like one woman of God, I heard she pray from Cecilia to Lafayette. They are doing it. But for some, something else is wrong. Something else is broken. They don't know how to operate in the fourth dimension. Pastor, what is the fourth dimension? The fourth dimension is the spiritual realm. The realm of vision. The realm of dreams. The realm in which you see things that's not really yet manifest in the natural is the fourth dimension. You see, you seeking God. The favor is there. Huh? But somehow, you cannot visualize and see in the fourth dimension what you are asking God for just yet. You have to see it in the spirit. before it's going to manifest in the natural. The book just fell off my shelf. The fourth dimension. Prophetically, there's some that can't see a new home. They can't see themselves being approved by Southwest funding to get a mortgage. They can't see themselves driving off the lot with a new car. They can't see themselves owning apartment complexes. They can't see themselves owning a business with 15 to 20 employees. They can't see themselves healed and whole and their legs not bothering them no more and the blood pressure not regular. They can't see all of those promises. They can't see it. They don't know how to operate in the fourth dimension. And this right here is what God is frustrated with. Because you're seeking, you got the favor, and the door is open, but you're standing at the door, and you don't see nothing. Here it is. We're going to do this exercise, and then we're going to get out of here. I know y'all gotta go, y'all gotta work, but I'm telling you something right now, that if we do this right, tonight is gonna be one of the most special nights in your life. It's gonna be the night that for some of y'all, for the first time, you actually see the vision of what God has for you. In the life of a believer, there's always a vision before the man. Joseph saw the vision before the manifestation. Abraham saw the stars before the manifestation. But you looking and you're not seeing anything. You don't have a dream. You don't have a... I'm about to go, but everything that I have, I see myself in it, Chancy. I see myself doing it. I see myself having it. What do you want from God tonight? What is that next level? What is that next place you want God to take you? You see, the door is in your way, but listen to me. By faith, you can see through the door. What is it? Can you see yourself married? Visualize it. If you're not married, see yourself right now. See yourself. If you're not married, see yourself. Put it in the spirit. Put it in the fourth dimension. See yourself walking to the altar. Yes, I'm there. Yes, I'm saying the vows with you. Yes. See it. You don't have no children. Amen. God's waiting for you to see yourself. See your stomach. See your stomach. Ooh, look at them stretch marks. Look, see your stomach. Girl, look at your navel. Look, see your stomach. Come on, picture your swollen feet. Sweet picture. See yourself going to the hospital. See yourself pushing. See yourself delivering. See them putting that baby on your chest for the first time. See it. Enter the fourth dimension with me. Visualize this thing. See it. See that business. see the clients coming in. See yourself overwhelmed with files and overwhelmed with, see the line coming out the door. See your team working under you like a well-oiled machine. See it. See your name on the sign right here, whatever name you pick. See it. See the parking lot, Pat. See it. Come on in the fourth dimension. Come on. If you're cooking, see the aroma coming out the building. See it? See people eating at tables, wiping their mouth, dabbing their mouth, saying, this is delicious. See it? See it? See that number one hit that you make that go around the world five times? See people calling you. See it going platinum. See it. See crowds worshiping. See crowds sitting down while you're preaching the word of God. Thousands of people. Enter into the fourth dimension. I might not have said yours, but do you have it? Do you have it tonight? Do you have your vision? Now hold on to it. Hold on to that vision. And do it tarry. Wait for it. For it shall surely come to pass. Come on, give God some glory in his house. Give him glory. Open doors. Open doors. Open doors, open doors, open doors, open doors, open doors. I said time has come. Open doors, open doors. You gotta see it, baby. You gotta see it, baby. You gotta see it, baby. Open doors, it's happening now. It's happening now. He's preparing it now. It's happening now. You just gotta believe it. You just got to see it. It's happening now. Hallelujah. Brian, worship team, y'all going to have to lead me out of here on some type of that song that y'all sung. I done exhausted myself. I done worked hard tonight. I'm telling y'all, I done worked hard tonight. But the Bible said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I'm just testifying. Amen. Hallelujah. While they're getting together, I'm going to say, may the Lord bless you. Pastor, don't do that yet. Don't do that yet. If you're here and you don't know Jesus tonight, the walk of favor, seeking him starts off with the gospel. You got to admit you're a sinner, believe in him as your Lord and Savior. Him dying on that cross, buried in the grave, being raised on the third day. When you admit and believe, you confess him as your Savior. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's going to save you tonight. You're going to start that walk of blessing. He's going to do it. Somebody say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. I believe in you. I trust you. You died. You were buried. You rose. Please be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Forgive me of all my sins. Favor me. And bless me. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Take it over, baby.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's show God I believe.
Thank you, Lord. Love y'all. Be blessed.
I'm expecting my miracle any day now.
Come on.
Any day now. Ooh. I'm expecting my miracle
any day.
Any day now. Any day now. I shall have Sing that. I'm expecting
my miracle
any day now.
Any day now.
Any day now.
Any day now.
I'm expecting my miracle.
I'm expecting my miracle
any day now.
Any day now.
Any day now.
Any day now.
I shall have.
I'm expecting my miracle any day now.
How many of y'all believe that?
Any day now.
Say, I'm expecting my healing.
I'm expecting my healing.
I don't know what you expected.
Any day now. Any day now.
I'm expecting my breakthrough. Here we go.
I'm expecting my breakthrough.
Any day now.
Any day now.
Any day now.
Any day now.
I'm expecting God to move.
I'm expecting God to move. Any day now. Any day now.
I shall have. The God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love.